How awesome to see all the kids. I love the sound of children. That's a good thing. Is this, the mic's a little hot? Wonderful. Thank you for having me back, Kent and True Life. Wonderful to be here. A lot of you I've met either at the Bible camp or I was here last year, and so thank you for having me back. I love being here. I love sharing God's truth. I've spent a lot of time in sin's prison, a lot of time in the dark. So being with God's people, talking about His Word, the message this morning is victorious, talking about these things that Christ has done for us. This is fun, right? The world and its desires passing away, even the good stuff, right? Even the things that are okay for us to enjoy. There's a lot of stuff that God's given us for our blessing. Of course, not everything in the world is good, but just that reminder, we're here at church, Small C Church, because wherever you are, we are the church. The church is the body, right? Every believer in Jesus Christ is called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and every disciple is called to be a disciple maker in whatever context you find yourself, right? Wherever you work, live, play, that's kind of your church. And so there's the Big C Church, but it's fun being with the gathering, right? The ekklesia, as it is in the Greek, and sharing God's word. Because again, in 1 John it says, the world and its desires are passing away, but the man or woman who does the will of God will abide forever. And that's why we're here this morning. Be encouraged. And that's my prayer for you guys. Encouragement, comfort for those who are maybe hurting, maybe mourning a little bit. Things are going on. Life is heavy. That's the one thing I know we all have in common, is there's a battle going on in your life to some degree. In one area of your life or another, we all have that in common. And so praying that for those of us who are really under it, comfort and then strengthening. Encouragement, comfort, and strengthening. That's the prayer. And so Kent opened in prayer, but I'm going to pray again just because it's a great way for me to start the message and talking. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love for us, for each person sitting in this room, listening, those who aren't here. Lord, we've talked about people who have recently passed on from this life to the next, or who are maybe at that doorstep. We thank you for the incredible love that you, the King of the universe, the God who from before time began, you are God, and the love that you have for people, for us, that you would give your one and only son, that you'd become a man, that you would leave the privileges of deity, that you would leave the comforts of heaven. You needed nothing, but you gave everything, becoming a man in Jesus, to rescue the likes of us, sinners who were of no use to you whatsoever. We had nothing to bring to the table, and you came and you rescued us, and we celebrate that today. And we pray that you'd grant us your Holy Spirit of wisdom, that you'd grant us your Holy Spirit of revelation, so that we would understand the magnificent change that you've made in our lives because of Jesus, or the magnificent change that you can make in our lives because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, and that we would overflow with thanks, and that we would overflow with hope in these really difficult times and days that we live in. Lord, that we, in spite of all of that, would overflow with hope through the power of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. So, God, again, we give this service to you, Lord. As Kent alluded to earlier, as we prayed in his office, Lord, our only boast, I know certainly my only boast, is the cross of your Son, who you are and what you've done is the only thing any of us have to brag about. So we brag about you today. God, be glorified. And be glorified in each person here and each person listening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a real quick recap of 2021. I know we're well into 2022, but you might remember last year was, what are you seeking? Was seek Jesus was our theme. And what does the Bible say when you seek him and you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. What happens when you find Jesus? Well, there's a lot of good stuff that happens, right? And so just want to, first of all, give a recap. I came here last year sharing about what would happen, you know, our plan and our prayer for camps in 2021. And around 580 campers, including retreats. We started a brand new high school camp. And so we had a full high school camp one, and then 40 kids came to that second high school camp. And here's a couple testimonies from, in their own words, in the words of these high school campers, what happened at that brand new high school camp. Excuse me, I'm finding my place. So I kind of wrote the thought, you parents who've ever sent your kids to camp, you know how they hardly ever come back with everything, yeah, right? They I don't know how many pairs of dirty socks I find. Hats, sleeping bags, shoes, stuff you would, anyways, of all the stuff that gets left behind, I feel like we could open a thrift store every summer at the end. Well, fortunately, clothes weren't the only things left behind. More importantly, some of our campers, as I said earlier, shared what else they were going to leave behind and left behind. And this is from that high school camp, too. Shame and guilt from past mistakes. Guilt from things that happened to me, one student wrote, that I had no control over. Feelings of worthlessness, emptiness, anger, anxiety, depression, and the fear of being misunderstood. Broken dreams, lies about who I am, fears of standing up for Christ or sharing the gospel. And this is what those students said they were going to bring home from camp. Surrender, excitement, trust, confidence to share the gospel, Jesus' love and forgiveness, a renewed calling to reach and disciple people for Jesus Christ. God's grace and truth, one person wrote. And that was the theme of that camp, was God's grace and truth. They were bringing that back home with them. Lastly, taking away comfort with all my Lord. Oh, let me read that again. Taking away comfort with my Lord of all to spread his name. And so, True Life Church, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your support. I was able to come here and share. You guys have been a part of camp for a long time. You guys come in the summer for, I think, years, several years, right? Kent, personally, seeing him at Pastoral Growth Group. Sam, helping with staff training. Thank you all for the encouragement and support of True Life Church. That means a lot. But sorry, only Kyler got the hat today. So for the rest of you, you'll have to come get one at the Snack Shack. So I'm going to share a little bit more about camp, but I want to share where we're at this year. It went from seek Jesus in 2021 to, fortunately, when you seek Jesus, victory, right? Our key and theme verse for the summer in 2022 is 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek Jesus, be victorious. sorry. And victorious, as I've been thinking and meditating on victorious, okay, so what is our victory? What is victorious? How are we victorious? Well, the demonstrated love of God is our glorious victory over everything. The good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is our victory, right? Not circumstances, thank God, because those vary from day to day, but the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is our victory over absolutely everything. And because Christ's love conquered death, and because Christ loved and gave himself for us, we are victorious. So I kind of want to get into that a little bit. I know we all know the gospel. And so if the gospel's the good news of Jesus Christ is the source of our victory, you know, what exactly is the good news of Jesus Christ? Like I said, we all kind of get it. We all basically know the synopsis or the snapshot anyways, but the gospel's pretty large, isn't it? And it goes back from before the world was even created. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the very beginning. Through him, everything was made that has been made, and nothing that has been made was made without God. I think I kind of got that messed up, but the point is, in the beginning was God. And God created man, Genesis 1 and 2, in the very beginning. And God is light. God is perfect. And this kind of signifies God. In the beginning was God, perfect light. And he made things, he made mankind, and he said, it is good. And in the case of man and woman, very good. So the gospel shares with us or tells us that God is light. God is perfection. And when he created the world, there was no hate. There was no disease, darkness. There was no lying. There was no divorce. There wasn't any of the ills that we see today, the wars, the killing, the stealing. There was none of that. It was good. God's world was perfect. But the problem we know is, anybody? What's the problem?
Sin.
The problem is sin. Adam sinned, and being the father and the archetype, right? The father of humanity, Adam sins, and we all share in the sin because all have sinned, haven't we? Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? So the problem is sin, and sin brings death. But thank God that it didn't stop there. And I just want to pause real quick, and Kent reminded me to stay behind the podium because you guys are recording for Facebook, and I'm a mover, so this isn't the easiest thing in the world. It's like, especially, yeah. Anyways, I'll do my best. But I wanted to share, personalize this a little bit. Because sin isn't just out there, it's in here and it's personal. And as I began sharing a little bit at the very start, I spent a long time in, not only was I born into sin, but I spent a long time in sin's prison myself. Yeah, I knew the truth growing up, even though I came from a broken home and there were a lot of hard things growing up, mom leaving when I was very young, but my dad came to Christ and I grew up going to church, loved Jesus from an early age, and even gave my heart to Jesus at Bible camp when I was 11 years old. And so there were a lot of wonderful things, but from a very early age, my sin and my brokenness was really crippling, and I had this incredible fear of rejection. And so from the age of 11, 12, 13, it led me to being very susceptible to peer pressure, right? Anything to fit in. It was as if something inside me was like, you know, I had experienced the pain of rejection with my mom leaving when I was really young. And although I didn't understand it at the time, it was like, become someone that nobody really knows, but everybody likes, in order to avoid the pain of rejection. And so I became the chameleon. With whatever group I was with, I was fitting in. And how many of you know, if you're a men pleaser, if you have the fear of men, if you care so much what other people think, you can't be a servant of Christ. And so I was led away from a very young age. And so I think third, fourth grade, it's swearing. You know, I've got friends that are cussing, and so I'm doing with that with them to fit in. And then get a little older, seventh grade, you're sneaking out to smoke. And then eighth, ninth grade, stealing beer from the country club and sneaking out at night and doing that. And it just progressed until now I'm a senior in college at Moorhead State University in Moorhead, Minnesota. And my life had become so dark, so empty. I was even had digressed to the point of smoking meth, harder drugs like ecstasy, cocaine, different things like that. I smoked marijuana as just a matter of course. I couldn't picture my life without that. I thought, I'm going to smoke this until the day I die. This is what I need to feel normal, just to get up and have any sort of a day. I've got to get high. And so this is the life that I was in, getting drunk three or four, maybe five times a week, and so depressed, so lonely. And on the outside, right, everything's good, the life of the party. But how many of you know that sin might be pleasurable? It might be good for a time, but it always reaps or brings death, produces death. And so inside, I was dying. And I had gotten to the point where I didn't even think God would forgive me. I'd been so bad for so long, and I'd been the boy who cried wolf so many times, getting pulled over by a state trooper, drunk, and a bunch of drugs in my car, and God, if you'll just get me out of this one, I promise I'll be good. I'll do whatever you want me to do if you just get me out of this. And so here I am now on November 17th, 2002. I know it's getting to be a while ago, but where I come into my dark, empty apartment in Fargo, North Dakota, and the darkness and the emptiness I felt inside was so intense, I just crumpled to my knees and began crying out to God, if you'll have me. God, I am dying inside. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. If you don't have Christ, if you don't have His life, you've got nothing to expect but a fearful judgment. And that's what I lived with. I would lay in bed at night, fearing death, fearing what would happen to me if I died, kind of knowing, yeah, I think I know what would happen to me if I died, because sin was having its effect. Sin was producing death in my life. I was far from Christ. But here at the doorway of my dark, empty apartment in Fargo, North Dakota, as I hit my knees, and not even, it wasn't even my faith that saved me. How many of you people know that it's only by grace that we're saved? You know, that's awesome. If you're saved, you think that's awesome. But it's also, let me just throw this in there too, it's only by grace that you're sustained in your walk with Jesus. It's only by grace that we grow and continue to change, because how many of you are like me? There's still a few things that need to change. Just a few. Just one or two or 100. It's by God's grace. I was thinking, I was reminded of this week in my devotions, that sometimes I can be deceived into thinking, having begun by the Spirit. You know, God saved me by His grace, but now it's kind of up to us. You need to have more faith, right? You need to have faith in God, but it's even the faith to believe in God is a gift. It is by grace that we have been saved. And because God is saving us, He gives us the gift of faith. There's nothing that I did. I wasn't believing God for a thing. All I was crumpled at His feet, crying for mercy. God, help me. I didn't even have faith that He would. I kind of thought, no, He probably won't. But I'm so in so much pain, I've got to try something because, again, I'm dying on the inside and on the outside. And that's where we come to, we talked about the problem, the separation from God. But when we were utterly helpless, when I was utterly helpless, there was a solution. I love the way that Paul puts it in Romans 5, verse 6 through 11. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came, and at just the right time, He died for us sinners. Verse 7. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, while we were still disgusting in our mess, of no use to Him whatsoever. The solution is life on God's terms. The solution is God became a man in His Son, Jesus Christ, and He lived the life that we should have lived, and then He died the death we deserve to die in our place. Nothing we did to earn it or deserve it. It was more in spite of us than because of us. As Paul goes on to say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and you still stand firm in it. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message that I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. So he's saying, believe the Bible. Believe the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of messages out there, isn't there? There's a whole lot. I don't know how many times I interact with folks. Yeah, we're basically all saying the same thing. No, we're not. Not even close. On the surface, there are similarities, but at its core, the gospel of Jesus Christ is completely different. It's the only one whose basis is grace. The grace of God is our salvation. And so he's saying, believe in this gospel. And then he begins to give a very brief synopsis. I passed on, verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important and what also had been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures had said, that he was buried. He was buried, and this is even in secular records, right? The historian Josephus, who was not a Christian, it's a historical fact. He was buried. They stationed Roman soldiers outside the tomb so that no one could say that someone came and stole the body and say, he's been risen from the dead. So they station guards, right? He was buried. Oops, I think I was accidentally hitting this. He was buried and he was risen. And he was risen from the dead. And he was seen, eyewitnessed by over 500 people, right? According to the scriptures, he was raised from the dead on the third day. just as the scriptures had said, proving once and for all that he is the Son of God. And everyone who repents and believes in this good news will have victory over sin, will not perish, but have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that leads to the next slide. Jesus Christ is the bridge to God. Does anyone know what John 14, 6 says? Thank you, Sam. And for those listening, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts 4, 12, I believe, I think Luke is the writer, but it says that there has been no other name given to man. No other name has been given the authority to save. Just this one, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. There is no other, right? That's the bridge. All are born spiritually dead. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're dead in your sins. And there's only one hope for salvation, and that's God's way, the bridge. Noah's Ark, right? The world's dying in a flood, and Jesus Christ is the Ark. You get on the Ark if you want to be saved. Jesus is the bridge. This is the solution. However, God gives us a what? He gives us a choice. We have a choice. One of the beautiful things and scary things about love is that you've got to choose to love somebody. Just think if he had made us, pre-programmed us to love him, or even how that would work with one another. What if your wife was forced to love you, Sam? How warm and heartfelt would that be? No, but God gives us the choice. And that's what makes love love. But there's a choice. And so if there's a choice that you can make for God, if there's a choice that you can love, there's also the other side of that coin, right? But with all of his heart, God says, choose life. Choose life. Right? You can go to hell, but Jesus says, arms outstretched on the cross over my dead body, right? I loved you so much that I was willing to die for you. You have a choice, but with all and on behalf of Christ, you know, I would say to every one of you, choose life. Choose Jesus Christ. He's already become friends with you. So you become friends with God. Maybe you're like thinking, hey, easy. I'm a Christian. I'm there. But I'll tell you what, we're called to continue to work out our salvation, not work for it. But this is a relationship that is supposed to continue to grow, right? How well do I know Jesus? Did I meet with him this morning? Jesus said, abide in me. That means live in me, make your home in me. How am I doing there? And if it's a relationship, is it a growing relationship? So I think there's room for all of us to grow here. But make no mistake, that you've got a choice. People have a choice. We can't make it for them. But what a choice, right? God, I pray that looking at our lives, they would see, wow, that's a choice that I want to make. I know what a scoundrel, dirtbag Zach was, and even though he can still be an idiot, he's different. He used to get high every day. He used to hate himself. He used to do everything to try to escape reality. He was far from God. And to almost make people jealous. Like, what does that person have? The world's going to hell in a handbasket and they seem like they're at peace. How can they have joy or confidence? Well, let me share it with you. This is a choice that you can make for yourself too. And what a choice it is, because let me challenge someone else. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Anybody? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. 'Tis many as believed in him, that believed in his name, John 1:12, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God, no longer slaves to fear, the fear of never being good enough. But he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, through whom we cry, Abba, I'm not abandoned. I'm not illegitimate. I have a true Father in heaven, and I'm going to live with him forever. I am a fully accepted child of God. I've been set free. And yeah, I might still live like a slave, because we still experience all the limitations of sin, don't we? But make no mistake, I've been made new. I can be different because I am different. Christ's life is in me, a new creation. I am a child of God. I am a saint who sometimes sins, right? But make no mistake, your identity has changed. You've gone from death to life. You're now in Christ, united to Christ, one spirit with him. Amen. Let's see, where are we at with these notes? I'm coming towards the landing. Okay. Being conscious, because most of the time I'm not up here, I'm down there. And so I get it, right? Especially when you have kids. So with the little bit of remaining time, this brand new life in Christ, again, what am I talking about? What's the point? That the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, makes us victorious. My point, what I'm trying to say, is that the good news of Jesus Christ is our glorious victory over everything. Yes, sin. Yes, death. That's great. But even better, Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him gladly and freely, graciously give us all things? Right? Who would bring a charge? Who would dare condemn those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Who would dare accuse you? Who would dare condemn you? Who has the right to do that? Christ Jesus, and he died for you. More than that, was raised to life for you. More than that, is at the right hand of God right now, interceding for you, sticking up for you in the presence of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall troubles, hardship, persecution, famine, danger, nakedness, famine, war, backstabbing, threats? The worst sins listed in Scripture, right? So I'm saying, victory over what? Yes, sin. Yes, the consequence of sin, death. But victory over everything. Not that he's going to make every day Friday. That'll never happen until we see his face. But even in the midst of these things, right? He says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep being led to the slaughter. But what? No. Despite all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors through him. No, despite all these things that happen in your life, no matter what happens in your life, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. He makes you victorious. Stick with him. Walk with Christ. I would say, live in Him, make your home in Him. More and more, fix your thoughts on Him. I know throughout the course of a day, we all drift. And every time you realize it or think of it, you're drawn back. So that's what we're talking about. Victorious life, now available. Victory in Jesus. But how do we live into that and experience Christ's victory more fully? Like I said, you know, pretend every day is Friday? No. Just hang on until Jesus comes back? No. No, there's areas that we still need victory. I know for myself, God uncovered bitterness. God's uncovered anger, lust, different things that there's still areas that I need victory. And so here's the application. Christ has given me victory, and I need to continue to work out by God's grace. There's areas in our lives that still need victory. What is it for you? What's God uncovering in your life? What areas do you still need victory? Where is it? Right? God's given us a season of immense grace. Right? Before the floodwaters of judgment come upon the earth again. Not literal floodwaters, but seek Him while He may be found. Call on Him while He's near, right? Because when you see Him in the sky, it's too late. And I'm not saying your eternal salvation's at stake, but you'd love to stand before Him without a red face, wouldn't you? Let's get anything that's in between, anything that's hindering our relationship with Him now. God has victory for you. In these areas of your life, wherever He's pointing out, it's a Father's love that's behind that. He disciplines and trains those He loves. Right? And maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know Jesus. That's certainly an area. And I encourage you to talk to your elders, talk to Kent. If you feel like, wow, I've gone to church my whole life, but I don't think I know Jesus. That's happened to a lot of people. It's called religious unsaved. I'd say, talk to Kent. Talk to someone you trust. Right? A relationship with Jesus Christ is what saves us, not religion. Maybe there's someone in your life. Maybe it's not you, but there's someone in your life that needs to know Him, that needs this victory. Maybe that's your application. Is there someone in your life? Because think with me for a second. What's at stake for those who don't know Christ and His victory? That's convicting because I fall short here quite a bit. That's convicting, but it's healthy, not condemning. God doesn't condemn us, but it's healthy to remember. What is at stake for those who don't know Christ, who can't say, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord? I'll just leave that there. We know what's at stake if we believe God's truth. And it's not good. And I end with this, right? Our mission statement at camp is making disciples. Through Bible-based, Christ-centered camping experience. But for all of us, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That means all right to rule on earth has been given to Christ. And He says to us, therefore go. Make disciples of all nations, neighbors, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. And we all don't have Kent's gift. I go to Fort Tyne Community Church. Pastor Dennis is a phenomenal teacher and preacher. Oh my goodness, I feel like how can I even stand up after this guy preaches? And we don't all have the same gifts. But you will reach some people that Pastor Kent, that could never reach. Because you are who you are, where you are, with a relationship with certain people that only you have. Right? So that's your calling. Go and make disciples. And how far ahead of someone do you have to be to disciple them? Just a few steps. Right? All you have to be is a little bit ahead. to show someone where to go. And we're called to be witnesses, aren't we? You don't have to be God's defense attorney. You don't have to have all the right answers. Shoot, I know I don't. Especially when I feel like, wow, wish I could remember what I'm supposed to say right now. But you have a testimony. You have a testimony of victories that God's worked in your life to share with people. So as we talk about, right, what are we talking about? Victory in Jesus for you forever. Now what? Go. Go. Share that victory. Live into that victory. That victory is not just for you, but it's for the world around you, right? God's not slow in keeping his promise. He's been very patient, not wanting any to perish. Amen? And Ephesians chapter 2, 10, chapter 2, verse 10 says, you're God's masterpiece, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. He's created us anew in Christ so that you can do the good work that he determined for you to do before the world was even created. He gave you victory in Jesus so that you can do the things he planned for you to do. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you. More than anything, thank you. Thank you, and help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to understand who you are and this glorious gospel and this salvation. Help us to understand it. God, help us to understand what you have done for us. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us so that we would do the good things that you've prepared for us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And can I, real quick, because I guess I am the camp manager. Well, get behind the pulpit. Just wanted to invite, if any of you would like a ministry opportunity, we're still looking for counselors. Some help in the kitchen. Maybe you have, and maybe it's not a service that you can do, but you have an RV or a camper that we could house our camp speaker in for a week or two. Maybe something like that. Whatever it is that you can do or that you have, I bet we could utilize it for the kingdom. We'd love for you to partner with us. In May, we have camp work days. It's the first two Fridays and Saturdays of May. It's not too much hard work. It's a lot of fun. We provide food. If you want to stay out there, you can stay and play. And again, food provided. Call the camp office. Visit the website if you're interested in that. And so 2022, beginning with young adults, the last weekend of June into those first couple days of July, young adults. So if you've got some from graduation to, you know, mid-30s, thereabouts. I know that's often, those folks can kind of miss out. There's not a lot for them all the time, so this is a really incredible weekend for young adults. And then, as you can read, our kids' camps. And I'll leave our flyer that has all the dates, and visit the website if you have questions. And I'll hang out if there's any questions that you have, but love for you to be a part. If you would love, if you want an opportunity to serve, we'd love for you to do that. And Kent, I think that's all I have.
I was interested when he was doing that finger counting and those things that you need to work on in your life. I finally figured out why God gave us 10 fingers, because there's a lot of counting to do. Just a closing thought. There's a reason why God put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is there because God knows that in our walk of sanctification, we're not going to do it right all the time. And there are going to be those moments and times where we're going to stumble, we're going to stray, we're going to, for some reason, walk away from what we know to be true because of the sin that is in our heart. God gave us 1 John 1:9 because he wanted us to have a pathway back to rekindling our fellowship with him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can just get on cruise control in life. We can get on cruise control in our spiritual walk with God. You know, we read our verses during the day. We go to church on a regular basis. And we can get to where we just begin to go through the motions of spiritual life. And I want to encourage you that probably one of the hardest disciplines in the Christian life is one that we struggle with so often in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, prior to the communion service, let a man examine himself. It's easy to be busy about doing things for God. It's hard sometimes to pause and say, hey, God, is there an area of my life that I have fallen short, that I've stumbled in? Is there somebody that I treated badly? Are there unkind words I've spoken about somebody? Is there conduct that I've done that has dishonored your name? Is there an area in my life that I've been kind of ignoring because it's too hard to work on and I'm a little bit lazy in regard to those things? And so I want to encourage you to, you know, maybe you can't deal with all 10 fingers in one setting, but maybe to just examine your heart and your life and say, hey, there's something that God has spoken to my heart about today. And I can't take care of all of it, but I can take care of something in regard to it. And to turn your heart to the Lord and say, okay, God, I'm going to get serious about this. I'm going to return to you. I'm going to confess my sin, and I'm going to give myself to diligence, to pursuing you on this, because I know the only reason you convict my heart concerning this thing in my life is because you love me and you want the best for me. The only reason God brings conviction upon your heart is because he loves you.
Amen.
And he wants his best for your life. So if you're hearing the whisper of God in your ear today, that means he's loving on you. That means he's caring about you. And that means he's wanting his best for you. Would you take that and give that to the Lord today as you follow him? Mm-hmm. Let's close. Lord, you are gracious and good to us, more than we deserve, more than we could ask or think. You came and found us, you pursued us, you saved us, you've given us the Holy Spirit, you've provided the Word of God as a light unto our path. And even in this moment, as we've come to worship and honor you, you've come and honored us with your presence. And now, Lord, as you speak to our hearts individually, we would just ask that we would open our spirit to you, that we'd be transparent in our conversation and in our self-evaluation. And that in all of it, Lord, that it would be done not for our benefit, for our good, but it would be done for your glory. We know that the only reason that you bring conviction into our life is because you love us. Mm-hmm. And you want your will and your best for us. And so, Lord, help us to respond with obedience. Mm-hmm. As we sang that song today, I surrender all. Might that be a true reflection of mm-hmm. how we feel in this moment and what we carry with us going into the week as we pursue you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Zach. And God bless you as you walk with the Lord this week.
Thank you, Kent.